God. By the blood of Jesus. Jesus died, I live. Are you saying this word to yourself? He died, I live. Say to yourself, he died, I live. Hallelujah to Jesus. Okay, let's continue our series on what I titled Basic Doctrines of Christ, Basic Doctrines of Christ and Christianity. And our main text is from Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to 2. Can I have somebody to take care of the Yoruba audience? I don't need to tell us that. Except you want me to switch to Yoruba completely. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. So, Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 1 to 2, we saw this, what scripture called the basic doctrines, which are one, repentance, faith, baptism, laying of hands, resurrection, and the doctrine of eternal judgment. And I always like to remind us of eternal judgment so that we can take seriously the first doctrine, which is of repentance or salvation. The Bible called them basic, the primary. Now, if all these are not well solidified, erected in the life of anyone called Christian, you are not solidified in these basic doctrines, then you will criticize every other truth, even as a believer. Did you get it? If these basic truths, you are not solidified in them, they are not a truth in your heart, then you will criticize other truths, even as a Christian. So it's possible, like we had Nicodemus, a teacher of the law, yet he does not understand what salvation is. Can you see the serious wahala now? A pastor teaching people all manners of law, you know, law of Moses, law of this and that, and yet he had no idea of salvation. You know, when God gives you an idea, please run with it. If anybody is slowing you down, you share the idea with somebody and they are slowing you down, look for another person to share the idea with and run with it. A man of God is doing a great job. I don't want to mention him. Any of us, you go online, you will see his work. He's a pastor, doing well, and God strengthening him more and more. So, aside preaching, he do a lot of interview, you know, of stories you won't believe that they are real. Now, I think he just pushed one out, maybe a few days ago, of how a pastor took advantage of a lady who confided in him. And he was raping the lady. A pastor. And in fact, I think the first rape happened in the church office. And after that, the man went on to preach. And the lady was asked, "You mean after the pastor raped you, he still had the guts to go on and preach?" "What was the title of the message?" He said, "Well, he's admonishing the youth not to allow pastors to take advantage of them, but to be on fire for Jesus." So if we have Nicodemus, who does not understand what salvation is, and we have this kind of wolves around today, you better be careful. But I like to tell people that when you go to market to buy a particular product and you are looking for original, if you don't know the right shop to enter, okay, you will buy fake. In fact, you will buy fake at the same price of the original, and it will pay you so well. Has it ever happened to you before? So, beloved, Jesus will talk about this kind of people in the church. The wolves, the hirelings, the shepherd. So if you don't understand so well what these basic doctrines are, all you will be going for is the outward look. How well the man can speak, how eloquent, how beautiful the church is, the number of followers, the miracles. And I showed to us last week, miracles, as beautiful as it may be, cannot take the place of repentance or salvation. Cannot. Did Jesus do miracles? Yes, that's the master of miracles. But what did he come for? Did he come for miracles? No. He came for repentance of mankind. Salvation. So John said, I am baptizing you with water. He has come to baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. He has come to redeem you. So in other words, let me tell us this. Everything God did was because of man's salvation. Everything at all God ever did, if you are writing, write it down. Everything God did, has done, is doing, is because of man's salvation. Not only that, and to keep man till the very end. That's why God is doing, or God has done. Remember, in the book of Genesis chapter 3, when man fell and they used sleeve to cover themselves, God quickly need to kill an animal to cover them with the... Praise God. Signifying the giving of the life of his son that is to come. Eventually, he gave his son. And in Luke chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 7, that there is a great joy in heaven. A great joy in heaven over the life of one sinner that repents. A great joy. What gives joy to heaven is not miracles. Thank God for miracles. I want a miraculous ministry. You also deserve a miracle. And you will go home with yours. But you see, what gives joy to heaven is repentance. The Bible says it's a great joy it gives. Look at it. I see unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. And let me quickly go over, because I want us to hit a point today. I was sharing with us about the fundamental truth about repentance, and I think we have looked at 10. Last week, we stopped by saying that one of the fundamentals is that the fulfillment of God's promises are tied to repentance or salvation. You remember that. And we saw that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God is not slack concerning his promises, but he's waiting that whoever we gain or get his promise, you know, actually repent, so that your blessing does not become a curse in your hand. And I'm actually going to show us very quickly, you know, something in Luke 15. Now, look at this. Look at this. We are talking about the fact that God's promise is tied to repentance. Not just only God's promise, you. In fact, the move of God and many things God wants to do among his people is tied to their repentance and salvation. Listen, there are certain blessings God will not do. Certain move of God you will not see until salvation comes, until your salvation is genuine, until God can say, I know him. You know, if God can vouch for a man, that's a level of relationship. So God said concerning Abraham, I know him. And therefore God can reveal anything to him. And therefore God can call him and say, come on, I have a plan. I have a plan. And I want to make you father of nations. I pray for you. May your relationship with God get to that point. In the mighty name of Jesus. That when God can trust you. And then God can say, this thing I want to do on heart. Who can I trust? Who can I trust? Yeah, I can trust her. Yeah, he can do it for me. And you find out that whatever God wants to do, actually, he do through men. Amen. Now, I forget something I was saying the other time. The man of God who now, aside being a pastor, he grants interview. I think 2 or 3 years ago, I had this strange encounter. My wife knows about it. God led me to a particular street in this environment. Gave me the time to go and whatever. And I had access to this house that, you know, the gates, for you to access that house, except on appointment. So it's an encounter. And today is not the day to tell you the whole story. So I had this encounter. The Lord gave me the time. And the Lord said, I think it was the Holy Spirit told me 2 p.m. that on the dot of 2 p.m., I should be on that street. So I got there. Beloved, it was at that very time the woman who owns that house came out. At that very time. Was as I drove into that street, I already parked and I was like, God, yeah, where is the house? And the Holy Spirit says, yes, that is that house. And I said, so how am I going to assess this kind of, already seeing how beautiful the house is? Okay. And then you see, beware of dog. You understand? So you maintain yourself. But do you know that at that time, the woman came out. He wanted to show somebody, an artisan working for her, inside. Wanted to show that person something outside. At that moment, she came out. Another person came out with her. And Holy Spirit said, that's the woman. And the rest is story. As I approach her, then she told me, can you please go in? He said, go in and ask our maid to get me a seat. And this woman, listen, told me, by the time she come back to sit down, she told me the story of her life, A to Z, for about 2-3 hours. I wasn't the one talking, she was the one talking. She didn't know me from Adam. I'm seeing her for the first time. And at the end of the day, she said, I know you are here for a reason. And then I made a statement. And then she said, I got it. God has sent you here to drop this message for me. Thank you very much. And that's the end. And I told her, this, your story must be heard. So I had a prompting in my spirit from that moment that this kind of story, the world need to hear it. And do you know that that is the same thing this man of God is now granting the interview? So if you see me today now to continue that kind of a thing, you will say I copy Abi. Let that be a lesson for you. When God gives you an idea, you better run with it. If you don't run with it, before you know it, your neighbor will start it. And by the time you want to start your own, then you become the copycat. What is the vision? What is the idea God has given you or is giving you? You better run with it. Even when it is not common. Run with it. And I'm telling you, I will still start my own. No. I will still start my own. Because I noticed that for this man of God, it's like his own is towards young people. But those people God is bringing to me, they are old people in their 60s above. Are you getting something? So in your dealing with God, you have to be sensitive to get your inheritance. Because it will keep leading you. That's why he talked about as many that are led by the Spirit of God. Bible says, one of the attributes of the children of God is not just their salvation. Are you getting me? It is also the way they are being led every day. Don't tell me you are saved if you are not led. You must, the same salvation, the same Spirit that led you into salvation must keep leading you every day. Must keep leading you. So I'm saying that the move of God and many things God wants to do among his people is tied to repentance and to salvation. And that includes the fulfillment of God's promises we are talking about. Not only that, including Christ's second coming. It is tied to salvation. Look at Matthew. Let's see Matthew. Matthew 24. Can you quickly help me, media? Matthew 24:14-47. Matthew. Very quickly, media, can you help me?
Oh, God. Okay, look at verse 14. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Did you see that? The gospel must be preached. Repentance must be preached. Until then, there will be no end. So if you are looking for one of the signs of the end time, it is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, of repentance, of salvation. And then look at verse 47. 47 says, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all this. No, I mean verse 14.
Not 47, sorry.
14. We've read 14, right? Okay, so the same 24. It's the same 14 I want to read. It's the same 14. Matthew 24:14. That the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the nations of the world, in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Okay? And let me just leave that. So, let me give you another point, and then we'll move to another subtopic. So, Christ will return when repentance is preached throughout the whole world. That's what we are saying here. Matthew 24:14. And then Luke 24:47. Glory to Jesus. And then we are to preach repentance. I need to quickly add this. It's part of the fundamentals. We are to preach it. If you have been saved, then you are called to save others. To preach. So let me stop there, and then let me get back to Matthew 15. Luke 15, I beg your pardon. Luke 15. Before I get into why repentance,
or why salvation? Let me quickly show us the two kinds of sons of God. So here Jesus was talking about what we all know as the parable of the prodigal son. But I saw something different. I saw two kinds of Christian there. They are both sons. So by sonship, we talk about their salvation. Are we together? And I saw one fell out of salvation because he got a blessing he cannot handle. He got a blessing that is above his salvation. Are you getting it? And he couldn't manage it. He couldn't. So we have this first son, the youngest, as a kind of Christian who lost his salvation as a result of the blessing he received, promotion he received, and so on and so forth. And that tells us that there are some children of God who have lost their salvation. So salvation can be lost. Salvation can be lost. Although they are still sons, but salvation has been lost. And that is the reason they find themselves in a hard situation. They actually put themselves there. If you are like that, you need to start analyzing things around your life. How did I get here? How did I get here? Bible says he got this blessing from his father and he left the house. He left the house. You know, today there are so many children of God who have had some salvation experience, but they are not in the house. One thing or the other has happened, including offenses. They have left home. Please, nothing should make you leave home. Go back home. And what is the home? Church. Listen, the only home God has prepared for his saints to preserve them till his second coming is the church. The church is the home to preserve the saints. Christ will stop, return. When he returns, he takes his church up. There won't be church on earth anymore. But today, where do we have the church? On earth. For what purpose? To preserve the saints. So, let no level of blessing, riches, take you away from home. Don't throw away your salvation because of certain level of blessing. Marriage. You have these children. You have this promotion. You have this job that now consistently takes you away from church. You need to watch it. Are we together, please? Because the same salvation that saved you, you will need it to continue to preserve you till the end. You need that constant fellowship to be preserved. So for these four sets of the sons of God, they are away from home. And that explained the reason for their predicament. But you remember, the Bible says that he came to himself. Did you remember that? In verse 22. He came to himself. No, is that 22? Verse 17. Luke 15, 17. When he came to himself, he remembered who he is. Salvation made me a son. Salvation made me a king and a priest to my God. I'm to reign on earth. He remembered who he is. I will return to my father. And that settles it. So if you have been away from home because of hurt, because of offenses, you've been out of church. There are many like that. And the matter that made you took that decision to say you are leaving church, humanly speaking, nobody will hear it and say, "Oga, you better leave." And will not say you have taken the right step. Listen. Think about the will of God. And think about your own eternity. I always like to tell people this. Don't live for time. Live for eternity. Don't live for time. Live for eternity. There will always be pain. But it is now up to you what you resolve to do with your pain. So, I will encourage you. You don't take painful decision that will bring more pains because of your pain of today. You know, it will be painful that at the end of the day, one miss heaven because of hurt and offenses. Because of one blessing or the other. Hallelujah to Jesus. Then this second son, they are the category of the son saved, like I said, right? But at home. But they are hungry. They are angry for many reasons. They are in the house. They are serving the father, doing all the service. But in their heart, they are angry. So for that reason, there are times they will not do something. There are times they will not pray. Remember when this elderly brother of the prodigal son heard that, okay, this party that is going on in our house is because my prodigal brother has returned and my father is there to throw party. So I'm not going to go in. So there are saved Christians, sons, daughters of God, that they will not do some spiritual exercises because already they know what God will tell them. So they are like, I will stay here. They are really, really angry. So check yourself. In this your service to God, are you happy or you are angry? Check it. Now, he was angry because, you know, for two reasons. He said, okay, my brother, he has wasted everything and now you still take him. You know, there are some Christians that in their hearts, they want to take the place of Jesus. They want to become the janitor of heaven. They say, you, this is your level of sinfulness. They are into ministry of condemnation, not reconciliation. So he saw his brother. He said of him to be happy. It was hard. You know, there are people who cannot stand the blessing of others. They can't stand it. They can't stand the promotion of others. No, it must be me. Or me first, if it is not them first. Even there are some, even when they have been blessed more than others, they can't stand to see others having some level of blessing. It's a demonic spirit, though. I know you are saved, but if you have that kind of a spirit, it's a demonic spirit. You need salvation. You need repentance. And then he was also angry because he felt that. Why is it that the father didn't give him certain level of gift or blessing? So people can be in church and be angry. Now you will ask yourself, why will Judas sell out Jesus? I tell you, the guy was angry. You mean upon one man, we are wasting this. Who is he? No. That's why some cannot stand to see their pastor blessed. No, they can't stand it. See their leaders blessed. They can't stand it. They will take offense. And I tell you, it's a demonic spirit. Even though you are saved, you are in the house. Check your heart. For that reason, you will see some so-called prophet. The reason they go on Monday is to go and pray against another Christian brother. Have you had that kind of thing before? In the church. In the church. Praying against one another. So that's why every day you must keep checking yourself. Am I still saved? Is my salvation still intact? Because your salvation, I mean your blessing, might have taken you out of the house. Your blessing might have made you become prodigal. And again, you can also be in the house and you are angry for one reason or the other. Let's look at why repentance or why salvation. Romans 3:23 says something, and I will read 24 also. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So this is the reason for salvation or repentance. All have sinned. It was a terrible thing that happened to humanity when Adam and Eve sell out to the devil in the Garden of Eden. That singular action brought humanity under the bondage of the law of sin and death. Genesis 3, from verse 1 to 2 to 19. That singular action brought man under the bond of the law of spirit and life. Hallelujah to Jesus. So therefore, in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, scripture says there, let's see, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So therefore, salvation can simply be put as new birth encounter. And it occurs at repentance. It occurs at repentance when we believe in the finished work of the cross. At that moment, salvation takes place. Let me show us something in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. John, I think I've opened. Yeah. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. And though I would have loved to start from the beginning, but time won't permit that. So I want to show us, I'm reading from Message Translation. So from Message Translation, I'm reading. Okay, let me start from here. It says, He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whosoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true self. He made to be their true self, their child of God's self, their true self. So this is what salvation do for us. It makes you or bring you to the real you, the real you, your true self. They are child of God's self. Now I will explain them all. Let's read. These are the God begotten. These are the God begotten. Not blood begotten. Not flesh begotten. Not sex begotten. So when we talk about salvation, it is not by blood of human, but God begotten. Let's get here. So that let me make this point, and then let's go to the questions Nicodemus asked Jesus. You know, he asked Jesus two questions in verse 4 and verse 9, John chapter 3. He was asking Jesus, what do you mean about this being born again? A man that has been born already, can he go back to his mother's womb? And then he later asked in verse 9, how can this thing be? So with this question that he asked, let's look at what it means to be born again and how this thing can be. These are the two questions Nicodemus asked Jesus. Do you get that? Let's quickly look at them. Let's quickly look at the few of them. Where we can stop, we start today, and then we continue next week. Number one, what does it mean? How can this thing be? Like Nicodemus asked Jesus, and what does it mean to be born again? Number one, it means complete exchange of devil's nature for God's nature. So that we, you know, I need to quickly get in here so that it's going to help me to explain to you what the scripture is saying by their real self, God begotten. So when we talk about repentance that brings salvation, it takes away the devil's nature and gives a man the nature of God. Did you get that point? It means complete exchange of devil's nature for God's nature. So there is a new heart and a new spirit. So there is a spiritual heart transplant or transplanting. According to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 and 26. And in fact, like I rightly said, we look at it the other time, that every promise of God is tied to repentance, you know. In that Ezekiel 36, if you read down and go beyond verse 26, you will see there that God was saying that now that you are saved, you begin to have these blessings. Are we together, please? Am I making sense to you? So when we talk about repentance or salvation, it means a complete exchange of devil's nature, and then you take up the nature of God. So that is what scripture means when it says that if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things has passed away. It's not by physical birth anymore. It is by spiritual birth. God give birth, and he give birth by his word. Amen. Hallelujah. So that is a beautiful thing about salvation. There is an exchange of heart. Can we read that Ezekiel 36, please? Ezekiel 36 from verse 25. Ezekiel 36 from verse 25. You want to help me? Okay. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Yes, 26. A new heart. Did you see that also? Will I give you? That's what salvation gives. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stoning heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. So this is what happened at salvation. There is an exchange of hearts. That's why it is an internal thing. Are we together, please? It's an internal thing. Can you please help her? It's an internal thing. There is an exchange of heart from a stony heart. The heart is exchanged. Praise God. The heart is exchanged. That's why you find out that whatever you want to do, eventually you process it, yes, in your head, but then the decision is made in your heart. So scripture says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth make expression. So until your heart is exchanged with the heart of God, then what the nature you still have will be devil's nature. And with the devil's nature, you will do devil's work. You will do anything. You won't feel it. Why? The Bible says it's a stony heart. It will kill and it won't feel anything. It will take advantage of others and it won't feel it. It will just think it is normal. Let's look at two more so that we can close today. I pray for you a new heart, heart of flesh, in the name of Jesus. Number two, what does salvation mean? How can this thing be? As Nicodemus asked Jesus, it means to be born of God. Yeah, God give birth. Human being will give birth by sexual reproduction. God give birth by word. Word. Look at what we are doing now. Preaching the word. Then the word make the difference. It brings salvation. God give birth by spoken word and by regenerated human spirit. 1 John chapter 5 verse 1 and 1 John chapter 4 verse 13. So it means you are born of God. And when you are born of God, what do you become? You become God. You take up the nature of God. You are the heart of God. You willingly do the will of God. Are we together? So if you find God's will being difficult for you as a child of God, you need to check your salvation level. Is that taken? Did somebody get that? If you say you are a Christian, you are a child of God, you find it difficult to do the will of God, you are slacking in spirituality, you need to check your salvation level. You know, when people come to church and they are sleeping in church, I just know something is wrong somewhere. I'm telling you. It's not just that the preacher is not anointed, he doesn't know how to preach or whatever. Something is wrong. At times, something is wrong. Or let me say, most times, something is wrong with the hearer. Something is wrong with your spirit that is receiving the word. Abi, Paul was preaching. You remember our story? Paul was preaching one day. He preached overnight, a long sermon. And one guy was sitting on the window. He slept and slept off and fell. Abi, what kind of sleeping is that? If somebody is sleeping, sitting on a dangerous place, and you find out that, Oga, he be like, this, make I come down. But he's pretending. Like we pretend in church. We pretend a lot. But salvation does not pretend. Where there is a true salvation, there is no pretense. Repentance does not pretend. It is genuine. it is genuine. We pretend a lot in church today. We pretend as if we hear the word. We pretend as if we want to do the word. We pretend as if all is well. But I tell you, repentance does not pretend. So when you are born of God, you have His spirit, a regenerated human spirit. One more, and then we close today. What does all these things mean? Like Nicodemus asked Jesus. It means to become a new creature. A new creation. So 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things become new. So once God gives back to you, you are not just born of the blood and water. You are now born of God. And then you become new. You become a new species of a man. A new species of a man. According to James chapter 1, verse 18. Let's see James 1, 18. And then we'll close from here. James 1, 18. Glory to Jesus. So James 1, 18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. You can see, it is with the word of truth he begat his own, not by sexual reproduction, that we should be a kind of first fruit, a kind of first fruit of his creatures. So by this new birth, you become, or you belong to, a new species of man or men. You are not just ordinary anymore. Are you getting it? If you are indeed saved, you are not ordinary. Salvation makes you extraordinary. Not just extraordinary. A supernatural, extraordinary being by salvation. All things become new. So maybe next Sunday, I'm going to tell us more points on the question of Nicodemus to Jesus. What does this thing mean? What does this thing mean? Is he a man enter into his mother's womb again? No! He's a birth by word. The word of truth. And then you take up God's nature. And then you are born of God, because you are born by his word. And that's why one of the things you have to do once you are saved, to keep your salvation, like we have said, salvation can be lost. So one of the things you have to do to keep your salvation is the same word about you. You must keep drinking from it. Keep drinking. You must not excuse yourself from it. You must not excuse yourself from that word. So it will help you for discovery of new truth. It will keep leading you. And you become a new creation. You belong to a new species of children of God. Please stand to your feet. A new species. I love that. You are not ordinary. You are not ordinary. During the last 3 days meeting we held about new level encounter, the Holy Spirit helped us so much to dwell on the efficacy of the blood of Jesus. And we realized that by the shedding of his blood, our salvation was sealed and settled and finished. Are you getting it? And this made a whole lot of difference. Now, there is no bath without blood. You can't see any bath without blood. Is that true? There will be a flow of blood and water. So when we talk about being born of God, then Jesus also told Nicodemus, a man must be born by the Spirit, by the water.
So for this, your spiritual bat that makes you a new species of children of God, bringing you into the nature of God. Listen. It's special. Don't take it lightly. Don't just say, okay, just that word. No, it's not just. It's powerful. If you know it, and if you believe continually, that now by salvation, you are now born of God. You now have the nature of God. You are now a child of God. You are now in the class of God. This is what salvation does for us. This is what it means to be saved. Can you just lift up your hands and give thanks for His word today? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you for your truth that has come to me. Now, you need to check yourself. Are you like the prodigal son or the elder brother? Are you in the house or out of the house? If you are in the house, are you angry? What's your attitude in the house? Can you beg God that, Father, where I need to repent, help me. In so-so area. Talk to God. Talk to God to help you to do well by this word. To repent where it is necessary. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me to remain in the house. And as I am in the house, no level of blessing will take away my salvation, will take me away from the house. I will remain with you, Father. And while I remain in the house, serving you faithfully, no matter the level of promotion you bring me to, there will be no offenses. No offenses. I will get angry. But I will take up your nature all the days of my life. I will take up your nature all the days of my life. I will not lose my salvation. I will not trade it with anything. In the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now, we want to do something special before we close. Now, look at the elder brother of the prodigal son. Instead of getting angry because God didn't give you a certain level of blessing, eventually the father told him, "Son, all I have is yours. The only reason is that since day one, I've divided your property, I've given your brother his own. All I have is also yours. But you didn't ask. You didn't ask. So this time, let me ask us to ask for certain blessings. And if before the eyes of the Lord, you are mature for it, He will freely release it to you. Are you getting me? So there are some levels of blessings you are not mature for. No matter how much you pray and pray, if God loves you, He will answer you now. He will say, "I've had, wait." So at this moment, can you just go ahead and present your case before the Lord? And He will meet your need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Abba Father. We give you glory and praise. Bring your prayer to a close. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Lift up your two hands. Whatever it is you have asked of the Lord today, let it please the Lord to grant you answers. And your testimony will manifest. This week is blessed. You are blessed throughout this week. As we are closing the 11th month and stepping to the last month of the year, your path will be ordered by the Lord. Where God is not leading, you won't go there. But you will hear God
leading you to greener pastures and sitting you by the still waters, and you will find peace. You will be at rest. Whatever you are looking for, God will lead you to it. God will bring you to it. And God will bring it to you. So shall it be. You will find favor with God. You will find favor with men. No evil will befall you. The wicked will not hurt you. God will command the wicked not to hurt you and not to hurt your loved ones. Every one of your loved ones that are sick, I declare healings in the name of Jesus. Everyone sick under the sound of my voice, I declare healings in the name of Jesus. You are blessed, you are not cursed. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.